Well, good morning. Strange time here. This is my first official snow day as your pastor. And honestly, it's not quite as glorious as I thought it might be. I love the snow, and I still look forward to it kind of like a little kid. But this week has kind of tested the limits a bit, I think we all kind of feel like. Last night, we prayed fervently that the snow would either be very light and that we'd be able to have service, or else very heavy, and that way the decision on canceling services would be really simple. So this ambiguous coding was kind of frustrating. But God is sovereign over the amount of snow. God says in Job 38, when he's dressing him down a bit, he says that he keeps the snow in the storehouses, and sometimes he dumps it on us, and sometimes he gives us a little sprinkling on the roads, and this week he's done a little bit of both, right? But since we can't be together this morning, I was reflecting on what would be a fun little devotional exercise, something I could put up on the site. And I had the brilliant idea, I thought, of looking up every occurrence of the word snow in the Bible. And so, you know, you go to Bible Gateway, and I discovered that the most common use of snow is really as a picture of whiteness, if that makes sense, because the Israelites didn't have Clorox bleach, right? So even white garments aren't very white. So I'm guessing pure white was a pretty rare thing to see in the ancient world, and especially in that dusty corner of the world. So snow was the easiest way to define what white looked like, the same way blood defines red. So snow could symbolize in Scripture cleanness and purity. But oddly enough, it's also how leprosy is often described. So snow can go a lot of different ways in Scripture. But I wanted to share what I found is my new personal favorite passage. And it's not really about snow, but it mentions snow. And I loved it because it was quirky. And it comes towards the end of 2 Samuel, as David is reaching the end of his life and his reign, and the author compiles a list of David's mighty men, and this was his elite squad of 30 tough guys, enforcers, friends of his, the guys who helped make King David the legend that he was in his time. You know, if they had sports cards in those days, the kids of Israel would be collecting these guys' names. That's what they would do. And what caught my eye was a verse about one of these guys named Benaiah. And I'm not going to read you even his whole paragraph, just the one verse. It said, "And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was a valiant man of Kabzeel, a doer of great deeds. He struck down two Arieles of Moab." We don't know what those mean. "He also went down and struck down a lion in a pit on a day when snow had fallen." Now, I don't know that I can claim to have any deep thoughts about this. I mostly thought it was a funny verse to share on a snowy Sunday morning, because the snow adds absolutely nothing obvious to the story here at all. The snow has nothing to do with the lion, really. It just seems like a weird detail to include. And what's even funnier about it is that you find that the same detail gets repeated, because the same list is given of mighty men in 1 Chronicles, and they repeat again this detail that the lion was killed on a day that snow had fallen. That means we have more biblical record of the snowfall on that particular day than we have accounts of the wise men visiting Jesus, just to give you an idea. So why is that an important detail worth mentioning at all? I mean, it's here in the Word of God. Well, first off, I had to look this up, but, you know, snow is not an impossible thing in Israel, but it is relatively rare. If you Google snow in Israel, you can actually find, there's a Wikipedia article about it. And the entire thing is dedicated to two major storms that took place in the country, and it kind of took the country by surprise. One was back in 1950, on this very date, in fact, is when it finished, and then there was another one in 2013, and those were the biggest storms that Israel has had since 1870, when they started keeping records of these kinds of things. So big snows in Israel, by these rough calculations, maybe that's like a once-in-a-century kind of event. Meaning serious snowfall, noteworthy snowfall, is memorable, and it's an easy way to mark the time. And I don't think that's any different today. I mean, we get a little bit of snow, it seems like, every year, right? And it snowed pretty heavy this week in Allentown. But what did Georgia and I do when the kids say, "Boy, we've never seen so much snow in our lives"? We talk their ears off about the blizzard of 96 and how we had to walk uphill both ways to get to class and this kind of thing through the snow. And the story keeps growing in the telling. So it was noteworthy and it was memorable that snow fell on Israel that day. But I think the real point of its being mentioned at all, what the basic takeaway is, that it's tough guys who go hunting in the snow. Snow is an opportunity for warriors to prove their worth in that context. Hunting a lion is tough. Hunting a lion using primitive weapons is tougher. Doing it in a pit, that's even tougher yet. But doing it in the snow, wearing sandals and a tunic in the Middle East, that's hardcore. That's like Chuck Norris level tough, right? And these weren't Benaiah's only achievements. If you read just a little bit further, it mentions other things that he did. It mentions these things, and yet it concludes the story of Benaiah there by saying that even though Benaiah was revered among the mighty men, these 30 mighty men, he still was not as revered as the top three captains of the guard, kind of thing. And naturally, none of them, including those three, were as revered as David. David is still a household name. People use that name today. Benaiah, not so much. Now, in fairness, it should be observed that most of Lehigh Valley Presbyterian Church, we don't all qualify as tough guys, not by Benaiah's standards. I'm not a hunter at all. And meanwhile, here we are canceling church because of a few measly inches of snow. So I'm not really feeling my toughest this morning in that respect. But snow is just one opportunity to show toughness. Toughness comes in many shapes and sizes. And some of our toughest members in our church are older, and some of them are physically infirm, right? But a lot of you are prayer warriors who lend your strength to the church. And some of you face scarier things even than wild lions. You know, lion hunting in the snow, that might be a fun thing to do as an extracurricular activity. But most of us, I think in life experience, we only do tough things because we have to. We have to have those difficult conversations with somebody. We have to show love to somebody who's unlovable. We have to discipline our children and love our spouses when circumstances are hard. I think we all do tough things because the situation requires it. But what I want us to walk away from this with is that no matter how tough you are or try to be, your toughness is in service to the king. Because everything Benaiah and, for that matter, the other 30 mighty men ever did really accrued to David's glory. That's why his name is remembered. Benaiah's only in scripture because he was one of David's mighty men. If he had killed a lion in the snow, independently as a private citizen, no one would have a record of it today. The reason his toughness is remembered is because he was tough in the name of the king. And the same is true for us, because what we do in our own strength will very quickly be forgotten. But when we do tough things in the name of our greatest king, Jesus, who sits on David's throne, those are the stories that will be told forever, and I believe throughout eternity. And I think what I want us to remember is that your achievements in life, the hard things you do, the tough things you do, they're only as durable as the one that you serve. And I want you to remember that when you're out there shoveling this afternoon. Let me put in a word of prayer for you guys, and then I'll let you go. Father in heaven, I thank you for all of our people, the members of this church, Lord, and the other people who listen to these things. I pray that you would be with them today, Lord. Keep people safe as they travel. Protect their backs as they shovel. And Lord, be with us until we meet again, Lord, by your will next Sunday, if not sooner. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. See you guys soon. Take care, all of y'all. Yeah.